You are listening to weekly messages from Austin Christian Fellowship. For more information about ACF, visit acfellowship.org.
My name is Will Davis, Jr. Welcome to ACF. It's great to have you here. Why don't you find Romans chapter 1, and we're going to be there for the bulk of the morning. And let me pray with you guys. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you anoint this time. Thank you for the sweet time of worship. And thank you for this great congregation here this morning. And I pray for those who come in, as Daryl said earlier, some having had really great kind of holiday runs, some with more challenging holiday runs. But we're all here, and we ask you to meet us. I'm so glad these people are here today. Encourage them. Lord, I pray you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd walk the aisles of this church, the rows of this church, and meet every single person where they are, as only you can. Love them, heal them, forgive them. Love us, heal us, forgive us. Make your name known. I pray for our communities around the city that are meeting and the other churches as well, that you honor their seeking you today. I pray for people all over the world who this first Sunday of 18 are returning to pursue you, that you'd honor that, Father. I pray now as I teach, you'll humble me and activate my skills and gifts and show us, Lord, from your word, demonstrations of your power right now. And I pray in your name. Amen. While you're finding Romans 1, a couple of quick announcements. I'm going to put a slide on the screen. Russell at acfellowship.org. We are 80, I think I looked today, 80-something days from launching our Hutto community, ACF Hutto. ACF Hippos, here we go. We are embracing our inner hippo out there, which is hard to do if you think about it. Anyway, I'm asking some people from all the different communities to give Russell 6 to 9 months. If you woke up thinking about how can I serve in 2018, here's a chance to do it. It's a wonderful drive. It's beautiful out there. They're meeting at the YMCA right off 79 in Hutto, and they go live Easter Sunday. And it's all hands on deck. When you turn the corner and you're January and you got to launch in 80-something days, it is all hands on deck. And so if you'd be interested, you and your family, if you have a family, you want to bring them along to go into serving with Russell. When you start a church, greeters, camp fun, leaders and volunteers, load in, load out, coffee, sound technicians, musicians, it's all, you don't take any of it for granted. And volunteers are the key to new church plants. Bodies, honestly, when people walk in a room and don't feel like they're alone there, are really important in a new church plant in Hutto. If you think about giving Russell, you know, now till September, email him. First, talk to Daryl. Make sure Daryl knows what you're doing. Don't just disappear, because we do check roll. I'm kidding. And then contact Russell and see if maybe you can help him. I think we're going to have some folks love it. If you've never done a startup, it's a riot. And it's fun to see God show up. It's fun to see people. I go out to our communities. We have five now, I think. And I meet people that I've never met, that I call ACF their home, that have been baptized, have their families been transformed. They're part of our congregation. They just worship somewhere else. And they weren't in church before we put those communities out there. That's why we're doing it. And so if you can help Hutto get off the ground, it'd be great. Second thing I want to show you is a link. I have pretty much felt led to make my teaching model I tried last fall permanent until the Lord tells me otherwise. So I'm trying to do most weekends 3 messages that are different instead of 1 message that's the same. It keeps me desperate. It keeps me real needy. I pray a lot more. And I'm really trying to invite God's power and presence and less of good preaching or studied preaching. And so I'm asking you to listen to the other messages. I do 3 a weekend mostly. Sometimes I'll do 2, sometimes I'll do 1. Like this weekend, I'm doing 3 different messages. And so I hope you'll go listen to what I said last night to introduce this series to you. And I hope you'll listen to the one next service, as they're all important. It's another hour and 15 minutes a week, honestly, unless I really get going, which can happen. And it just gives us a chance to cover more ground. And it keeps me really, really desperate and keeps us depending on God. So I want, here's the link. If you'll sign up there, I did it last night. If you'll sign up there, we'll push whatever messages I do each week and we'll push to you every Monday. They'll land in your inbox. You can have the links there and listen to them when you want to or watch them either way. Hope you'll join in that. So we are a week and a half or so away from celebrating. This is all part of where I'm going, by the way. I'm not stalling. We're about 10 days away from celebrating our 24th anniversary as a church. January 16th, 94. And it's been amazing. So we're entering into our 25th year. And in light of that, it's appropriate to kind of look back and to kind of look forward. So what I'm doing is, this series is called Eight Scriptures ACFers Need to Know. And I'm hitting eight different passages in the next few weeks, next couple of weeks, in each different service that are kind of core to who we are. Last night at the Saturday night service, I talked about John 3:16 and how it is the gospel. I explained what the gospel is and how we will never stray from the gospel. We are a church that is about the gospel of Jesus, and we're never, that's who we are. We don't have a right to be here if we don't have that, if we don't proclaim that. This message going forward, I'm going to get into more of kind of what makes us tick as a church. Every church has its unique characteristics that reflect the leaders and the people and the passions of those leaders and people. And in this service right now and the next two or three in the coming weekends, I'm going to go deep with you on some things that kind of make us tick. And these two in Romans get my blood going. I mean, these two make me want to run a lap somewhere. So let me read them with you. We'll start with Romans 1, verse 5. And what I'm going to do, by the way, is try to sprinkle in the next few weeks some memories from the last 24 years. There's some what I call defining moments for our church that some of you know about, lived through. Some of you did not, but you need to know them because that can help define who we are. Romans 1, verse 5. Paul says, in referencing from verse 4, Jesus Christ, he says, through whom, Jesus, excuse me, we have received grace and apostleship. God's given us two things through Jesus Christ, through the gospel. He's given us grace. He's also given us apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith, to bring about the obedience of faith for his name's sake. I love that. Among the nations. It's this, that verse about, I don't know, two or three years ago really kind of apprehended me, and verse 8, which I'll read in a minute. That verse a few years ago got my blood boiling, as it's this wonderful kind of summary statement of what Christians are about. And it describes really well what we at ACF are trying to be. When you talk about our churches, if you're new to ACF today and you're looking for vision, mission, what we're about, you're a perfect room today to learn this with me. This verse describes so well who we're trying to be. It's the nitrous oxide. If you don't know this, we pipe in nitrous oxide into Camp Fun. That's why your kids love church so much. We want them to come. We have great volunteers, great leaders. We pipe in nitrous oxide. Your kids are all loaded. That's why they have so much fun. They're obviously doing the clog dance upstairs right now. Note to self, repair that wall when church is over. I have no idea what I was talking about. What verse are we in? We have received. I actually love hearing kids have fun in church. It just makes me so happy. That's why we call it Camp Fun. It's called Camp Fun for a reason. Church shouldn't be boring. And never mind. How much time do I have? Daryl's over here scratching his head going, look at Daryl. That's his motion to me. He does this to me a lot. Come on. Will didn't take his medicine this morning. Really, man. We only got so much time. If you're a Christ follower, you've been given something. You've been given grace. Grace is receiving what you did not earn, nor what you deserve. That's what grace is. Mercy is not receiving what you deserve. Okay? Mercy is, I need to be punished, and God does not punish me. He punishes his son instead. He calls me to be holy, but he doesn't give me what I deserve. That's mercy. Grace is God giving you what you don't deserve. Sonship daughtership, if I can make that word up. Being a privileged son or daughter of God. We have been given those things by God. So Paul says it's plural here. He says we. We've been given. Grace is this, well, if you do the acrostic, G-R-A-C-E, one way to memorize it is God's riches at Christ's expense. That's what grace is. I love that Paul leads with that, and we could do a whole month on what receiving, by the way, grace cannot be purchased, grace cannot be earned. Sarah talked about this a minute ago. Grace is not something you go get. It's something you receive. It's given. It's a gift. And it's unconditional. It meets you where you are. With it, Romans 1, 5 says, we're also given, we've received apostleship. That's a whole different concept. That's a go. Apostles are men and women and boys and girls who are on mission. And Christ followers are not of their own keeping. They're not of their own will. They're not of their own decision making. We are on mission from our leader. We are men and women in a loving family and a mighty army that are here to take the grace that has been extended to us into the world around us, neighborhoods, cul-de-sacs, and other continents that has not yet experienced it and known it. Grace is what the world most desperately needs, the grace communicated in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus, we have been given those two things. You cannot have one without the other. You're not qualified to have apostleship without grace, but you can never get grace without also being sent as an apostle. They go hand in hand. And if you're hearing me today as a follower of Jesus, you have been given both. We want to inherit the grace. Some of us want to balk at apostleship. That I'm not sent. That my life is my own. You can't have one and not have the other. If you have received the grace of God in your life, or you intend to, you must understand that with that comes this sending. It doesn't mean you're going to move to a country, a third world country, and be a missionary, although it might mean that. It doesn't mean that. It means that you're on mission. And you're the person across the street might be your primary mission. Your family might be your mission. But we are called to be, as apostles, sent, representing Christ in the world, among the nations. I love the next phrase. It says we are here to bring about the obedience. It's sometimes Paul says, and the New Testament says, the gospel is something you believe. There's other times it says the gospel is something you obey. Both are true. The gospel is an invitation. The gospel is also a command. You don't hear of the lordship of Jesus and decide to vote on it. We don't have referendums on the lordship of Jesus. You hear the lordship of Jesus. There's an invitation in that, but when the word lordship is in there, it's also a command. You obey him. And so we have been given this privilege, this grace as children, sons and daughters of God, also this assignment on our lives. Your life is not your own. You're bought with a price. You belong to the Lord Jesus. You're on mission. We're all on mission. To help produce the obedience, the yielding to, the surrendering to, the adoration of, the submission to, the allegiance with the name and cause of Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for. Now, folks, let me just, as you come into 2018 thinking about what you're going to do this year, let me make this real clear to you. I wish I could say this here and over there in that building on top of the hill with our student ministry. There is no higher honor than that one. There's no greater privilege than being given this assignment to represent the king. I had a great uncle way back who was a United States ambassador to Sweden. He was appointed by LBJ. It was a cushy gig. I've seen the pictures of the chariots and tuxedos and the mansion he lived in the embassy over there in Sweden, and it was a really fun gig in Sweden. And he was a representative of the United States of America. We have a higher, please forgive the slang here, gig than that one. It's not really a gig when you serve Christ. It's your royalty. You're not just a representative of the king, you're family of the king. And you've been given an assignment to represent him. For the sake of obedience. For the sake of men, women, boys, and girls coming to wonderful terms with the reality of Jesus Christ. for the sake of his name, for the honor of his name, for the promotion of his name, for giving to his name what is due his name, giving to his character, his person. When you have an esteemed guest in your home, some of you had family in your home over the holidays. We had all of our kids and their spouses come back to our home for the first time in a long time over Christmas, and you should have watched my wife rally herself from not feeling good to give just honor and to make sure my kids, when they were there with their spouses, had an amazing time with us because we love them. We want them to want to come back. Sardi, Sarah, we want you to want to come back. You can bring the guy if you want to, the husband. They were called appendages for a while. The in-laws, they start off as appendages, and when they prove worth, I name them, they get names. And she has a good one. But they start off as appendages. They have the appendage club that they talk to occasionally. Anyway, Susie went really hard to make sure they felt honored. We have a Savior whose name is above every name in the universe. In power and authority, in right and privilege and entitlement. And our job is to work our lives out to make sure that every person in every nation around the world understands the royalty of that name and accepts the invitation to be part of it. Christianity is not for white or black Americans or Hispanic. Christianity is not for Americans. Christianity is for men and women around the world of all ethnicities. That's why the term here says among the nations, among the ethnos, the ethnicities. There are no exceptions. There are no exclusions of God's love and desire for all people to come to know him. Jesus was not an American. Jesus was not a Republican or a Democrat. I know that shocks some of you. Jesus looked nothing like what we would think him to look in Western culture. And he has been sent to pull all people of all races, creeds, and colors into his family. He wants, and the scripture says, none to perish. Not one. He didn't take the pleasure of anybody. The people we'd see being the most evil in our limited understanding of justice, most deserving of punishment, he didn't take pleasure in anybody suffering for eternity in hell. He hates that. That's why he sent his son. Our mission, with the grace we've been given, is to live our lives so that people all over the world and across the street, in your home, in our schools, and all over the world, have the opportunity. Folks, that verse, Romans 1:5, that we are here to because of grace and apostleship, to bring about obedience of the faith for the name of Jesus among all the Gentiles. You need to understand, that verse consumes us here. If you're looking for a church that is thinking about others outward, you're in the right place. That verse drives so much of what we do. And it's part of why, if you allow me to get to ACF here for a minute, we made the decision several years ago now, more than several. We had a plan to put, we call it the grassy knoll, our hill out there we call the grassy knoll. We had a plan to put a big 4,000 seat auditorium on that. Wonderful glass windows, it would see downtown city of Austin, big thing, and be the church on the hill, highest point in the city, perfect for a big building. We were gonna build this building and, you know, and we felt like God said, that's not my plan. I want you to get out of debt. I want you to start giving money away. I want you to plant churches around the city that can be connected to this church family, be this church family through extension. And I don't want you to build the big thing on the hill. And so we made that radical turn a few years ago. And we now, first was Brushy Creek. Then was Northwest Hills. We did Brushy Creek, planted Round Rock. We planted Lake Travis. Round Rock is now planting Hutto. Did I forget anybody? Did I lose anybody out? And there are more coming. And that's, along with that, well, let me back up. This is some story time, if you'll allow it, just for a second. About 2003, we really made the decision to get very others-centered. Just a lot of you know this story, but some of you that are new to ACF or thinking about being part of ACF, you need to know this about us. And so, at that point, we were $4.8 million in debt. primarily for this building and the land we're on, 60-something acres at the time. It's a lot of debt. And we made the decision to start giving money away, to make a goal to go to 50% giving by 2015, to get out of debt, to stay out of debt, and to never have fundraisers again. Well, that's like nuts. They're almost mutually exclusive, because it means you're going to build any more buildings, you're going to build them by cash. You're not going to have fundraisers. Oh, by the way, we don't take offerings. Have you noticed that? I mean, all this together sounds like a perfect storm. That was 03. And not long after that came the decision to start planting churches instead of building a big one on a hill, to multiply instead of add. Since then, our executive pastor, Ed Frazier, sent this to me this week. Since 03, with $4.8 million in debt, we paid off our debt ahead of schedule. Since we started giving money, some of you in 2018 are deciding, should I tithe or not? We were getting 1% away at the time. We jumped it to 10%. Then we took a major leap of faith the next year and went to 11%. It was big. That was a big 1%. Then I think 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, we're now at 50. We really want to keep going. We're working on strategies to get us past 50. Praying a lot, basically. As we did that, if you're wondering if giving works, we paid off our debt ahead of schedule. We built a $1.2 million youth building, cash, without having a fundraiser. We've given away $22 million since 03. Guys, you can't do that. You can't do that. You've given away $22 million. The only way you can do that is if you give. The why behind it is Romans 1:5. That we are really serious about giving every, being part of the group. ACF is not the only church in town, it's not the only church in the world. We know that. We partner with lots of great churches. We are one of the guys with our hands to the plow in the city of Austin. We're not the only show in town by a long shot. And we know it. We have a niche that we're working on, but we partner with lots of churches. We are doing this so that what we have experienced, others can experience too. We support 50-something ministries here in the city with cash and volunteers. We support about 5 ministries around the world, a few in the U.S., and that number is ever changing and growing and expanding, and we intend to continue to expand and give as God allows us to. We are always looking for new people to partner with. So Romans 1:5, if I can put it in my terms, is we are really, really serious about leveraging everything we have so that every man, woman, and child in Austin, Texas, and around the world has unmistakable, undeniable, repeatable opportunities to know, love, and serve Jesus Christ. That's who we are. If that lights your fire, you're in the right place, because you'll have a chance to do that if you stay at ACF. You'll be invited to go on trips. You'll be invited to serve your city on 5th Sundays. We'll cancel church and go serve somewhere else. Dara mentioned that a minute ago. You'll have a chance. You'll always be encouraged to leverage your resources so we can give and encourage ministries that so much need funding. Nonprofits are on the bottom of the food chain, and it's awful hard to get funding if you're a nonprofit. We want to help nonprofits. We want to help organizations that help nonprofits. So Romans 1:5 for us is we are serious about getting the gospel out to people. Folks, I don't know that that's unusual for a church. It ought to be who we are. The fun part is in verse 8. If that's not fun enough already, Romans 1:8 says, first, I've got in my Bible right here, you can't see it, but right there in my Bible, I have ACF written above verse 8. I probably got it by verse 5 too. Yep, there it is. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. What's going on in Rome, so to speak? Paul had never been to Rome at this point. And yet he lists At the end of the book, in chapter 16, name after name after name of Christians he's aware of, but through correspondence and through stories and through testimonies, what is God doing in Rome? Man, that church is on fire. Rome, that's where Caesar is. That's where they have the gladiator games. That's where anything goes. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll was invented in Rome. And what's the faith of the Romans in the midst of that satanic culture? Was off the charts. And so Paul's hearing about these Roman Christians and the Roman ministry, and it's inspiring faith in other people. The stand of the Romans was making other Christians around the world. This happened again. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 7, 8, and 9. Same kind of thing happens. The faith of the Macedonians inspires other churches around Asia to get fired up. So here's how Romans 1, 8 translates for ACF. The way we do ministry, which is by faith, we want the way we do ministry to encourage people around the world to do the same. We want our generosity to encourage. I love standing in front of our ministry partners in the city and say to them, if you get a check, tithe on that check. If somebody writes a check to your ministry, Mobile Loaves and Fishes, take 10% of that mobile and give it away. God will bless your ministry. Go serve a nonprofit that doesn't have what you have. Because when nonprofits start serving nonprofits, something's happening. When churches start serving churches, something starts happening. So we want to do ministry in such a way by praying by faith, by living by faith, by preaching by faith, by giving by faith, by not keeping money in the bank, but getting it out as fast as we can, by always being desperate for God, by having to be driven by prayer more than anything else. We want that to inspire people. And it works, folks. It's amazing the meetings you get invited to when you're willing to serve and give. It's amazing how leaders, even in the non-Christian environment, will find you when you're willing to put your hand to a plow and to serve and give. And so what we want ACF to be is an organization that really does fire people up to be generous with their time, with their prayers, and of course with their resources. Resources are the easiest part of being generous, by the way. Time's harder. And so it's not just that we want to do this well. We want to do it in a way that inspires people to do the same. I've told you this before, but the leader of Community First, Alan Graham, Austin out of the year a year ago, started the homeless community that's changing how homelessness is viewed around the country. Alan Graham describes what ACF has now as a halo effect. That ministries that he works with will say, well, what's ACF doing? Or they'll hear what ACF is doing. And by the way, I'm not part of any of that. I don't have any control over what we do with our money. We have a wonderful team of volunteers and staff that make all those decisions. I just say, go. They do it so well. But your giving is encouraging other churches to now step up and do the same. And that's what happens. We just want, somebody's got to go first. We want to go first. We're willing to go first. For his name's sake, not for ACF's name's sake. Folks, we really have the potential to change the world. I would get so mad when Christians think we're like the stepchildren on the planet Earth. We're the rulers here. We get the power of God. Our God is not resource limited. God doesn't look around and go, ooh, what am I going to do? He's given us all we need to solve the problems of the world in the name of Jesus. Everything we need, financially, power of God, all that. We have it. And yet we limp around like orphans. And problems don't get addressed and God's going, you got all you need. We're going, God, why don't you do something? He says, you're my do something. Go. We're serious about that. In case you're curious. So we want to leverage what we have to make sure that every man, woman, and child in America and in Austin, Texas, on your cul-de-sac, on mine, and all over the world, in Cité Soleil, one of the worst slums in the world, in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, that the kids living there that walk around with no clothing because they don't have any, that those little kids understand grace and the God who loves them. And we want to do it in such a way that's contagious. That's who we are. It's not who we start out to be. It's what God has given us the last 25 years, and I couldn't be more excited about it. If you'll let me sign on for another day, I'll sign on because I'm in. Okay. I was kind of went over, like, that's when you go, yes, Will, please sign on for another day. Woo. Okay. once more with feeling. Let me tell you a story. 9/11. It was 01. So we really weren't in the giving thing yet, but God was already doing things in us. 9/11 hit us hard. It hit you hard. And, church attendance popped up a little bit then. The country was broken. We were like, what? Uh-oh. It's amazing that when the towers came down, church attendance went up for a while. Say what you will about organized religion, it got a little bit of a bump when crisis hit. We were heartbroken, as were you, over what had happened. I had never heard the name Osama bin Laden until 9/11 happened. And all of a sudden, he's public enemy number one. And the skyline of New York City and the heart of this country had forever been changed. The Pentagon. Those heroes on the one flight that went down in Pennsylvania, that forever changed. We were moved as you were to do something. We had never done this before. I pulled around our leaders and said, let's take an offering, let's give it away. Let's ask our church, we were meeting at Steiner Ranch at the time, let's ask the church for the biggest offering in ACF's history. And let's give it away. Let's give it to people who will work on the cause of 911 and recovery and help and comfort. It was, and I wanted to make it real clear. It was like, let's don't take an offering for the church and pay our bills and then take an offering for 9/11 and see what happens. We're going to take one offering on Sunday. And we're going to ask it to be the biggest offering in our church's history. We're going to give every penny of it away. That'll be the offering for the week. We had never done anything like that before. It was terrifying. Because of we didn't know what was going to happen next. The stock market was going to crash, and we didn't know. And what people were going to respond. And it was like, this feels, it's probably not the devil telling us to do that. So we circled up, held hands, with fear and trembling, said a little prayer. God, we think this is you. We're going to take an offering, God. We're going to give it to an organization we think that will use us well and go. I think the offering was $32,000. For us in 03, 01, whenever this was, that was an off-the-charts offering by several thousand dollars. The guys at Steiner, the church then, how many of you were in ACF then? In 01, a few of you. That's crazy. How many of you weren't here then? That's amazing. For you three that raised your hands, thanks for sticking with us so long. What's wrong with the rest of you guys, man? I don't know. And they're saying, we just keep hoping it'll get better. Here's hoping. We took the offering and gave it away. And we didn't go bankrupt. We didn't have to cut staff. We didn't have to scale back ministry. The opposite happened. And we learned a really important lesson. It's a kingdom principle that drives me a lot and drives our church a lot. And I want you to get it in you. I love sharing it with leaders. I love sharing it with nonprofit leaders and other pastors. Most of them know it. I want you to get it in you. If you'll build out, he'll build in. If you'll seek first, it's said in Scripture this way, seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and he will give you everything you need. If you seek first your kingdom, you're on your own. And you're going to settle for the best you can do, which is really disappointing. But if you will live, promote, work for, sacrifice for, take risks for. Folks, there is no faith without risk. There's no faith without risk. But if you will leverage your life for the kingdom and invest out, if you'll invest in the name Jesus and in the his favorite word, others, O-T-H-E-R-S, if you will invest in others for the kingdom's name's sake, he'll give you everything you need. 01, 9/11 was the first time we learned that, we experienced that. And it set in us this mindset that if we'll live this way, who knows what God will do. And here we are 16 years later, 17 years almost later, with what I've read to you and shared with you this morning as a reality about Austin Christian Fellowship. We could not be the church we are today with a long way to go still. But the church we are today, we are only this way because God called us to give. And he called us to give for the benefit of others. And it has been the wildest ride of my life. I would never go back to the safety of living it conveniently and cautiously. I will never go back. And we won't as a church as long as I get to be the leader of it. If your blood is pumping right now, come on. If that's the church you want to be a part of, if that's a church that moves you, if you really believe we're not orphans in the world, that whatever the statistics say about church and organized religion and belief in God is a bunch of, I got to be very careful my word choice here, junk. If you understand that God is not determined by what the headlines or the polls say, his kingdom still, Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage? The nations circle up and say, we're going to overcome God. And God laughs at them. Give me your best shot. Because Isaiah 40 says, you're like grasshoppers to me. Give me your best shot. We have to understand who the king is. He's not going to be voted out. He's not going to be overthrown. Culture and headlines will not determine his viability. If you understand, you can live like that, friends. Ephesians 3:20 says, what you can do in his name, you ready, is unlimited. I'm sorry, it's limited only by what you can ask or think. You want to think big, ask big, that's your limit. We're serious about that. And if that is a cause you want to put your life to here in the Four Points area, come on. There's room at ACF for you. I feel like singing the hymn. There's room for you.